Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler Mergen, and today we're going to dive into part two of our tax planning series. So ultimately, we're diving into some tax strategies that could impact you as a flower farmer, along with some specific steps that I'm taking with my own off-farm income and investments. Now, if you have taken Foundations of Peddling Perishable Products, there is a private podcast where I really get into the nitty-gritty of actual dollars and strategies for a pretty big expansion that I am building on my farm. So make sure you check out that episode if you have taken Foundations of PPP. The podcast is completely included in your membership. As of now, November 7th, 2024, that's just included for free for life. I might make that a paid add-on in the future, but everyone who's currently in it would get grandfathered in because it really is like group coaching. People send in questions, we answer it. So again, be sure to take advantage of that if you're looking at it. It's significantly cheaper than what I pay for the current mastermind that I'm in. So here we go. Let's also get real about one major barrier a lot of us face, and that is the mindset that talking about money is taboo. Many of us, we were raised to believe that discussing finances is impolite or even greedy. But honestly, how are you supposed to learn without talking about it? And my motto, it always has been this, but especially since I was unexpectedly widowed and pregnant and oh my God, I am not a damsel in distress. I am a problem-solving badass, okay? And part of that is figuring out the money side of my business and my life. That doesn't make me greedy. It just means that I know that people make bad choices and when they worry about money. And, you know, for example, no amount of money was going to bring my husband back when he died, and it wasn't going to make the grief any better. It wasn't going to make a stressful situation any better because of money, but it's definitely not gonna, I mean, worrying about money is going to make things worse. If you add money problems on top of any problem, it is going to make it worse. So this episode is not just about the nuts and bolts of Trump's proposed tax plan, but it's also about challenging the idea that money itself is evil. And money doesn't make you a bad person. It gives you choices. It gives you the freedom to make decisions on your terms instead of being forced in situations because of financial constraints. And let's be real, people make bad decisions when they're stressed, when they're scared. Having money doesn't take away life's hardest challenges, but the lack of it can make difficult times even harder. I want to take a moment to address something that I know is going to stir the pot a bit, and that's the intersection of tax strategies with politics. And I understand that these topics can be very polarizing, and I am trying to just stick to the facts. I'm not gloating. I'm not saying that this is or isn't what I wanted to happen. I am definitely very concerned about some social things that mean a lot to me that, you know, this election was about. That's not what this episode is about. I am talking about where we are now and how we can move forward within how things are. So our personal political beliefs often shape decisions. But the fact is, when it comes to tax planning, we have 1 year within that year, within the laws, and then the laws will change the next year. And no one can predict. This is not a replacement for advice. This is just meant to be thought-provoking, and definitely ask your CPA for real advice. But honestly, I would have approached my entire strategy differently depending on who was elected in office out of Trump and Harris. So if Harris was elected, I likely would have adjusted my W-2 wage earnings and my tax strategy accordingly. And it's no different than the same reason that you see teachers trying to time their pregnancies to be due in May to maximize a maternity leave, or that some people schedule elective surgeries in June so that they can have their carpal tunnel surgery in June and get the most out of their summertime and summer vacation and be off during the summer instead of the winter. Or you've probably heard about people giving their 2 weeks notice right after returning from maternity leave just to take advantage of those benefits before jumping into something else. And let's not forget about those of us, all of us, who schedule elective surgeries toward the end of the year if we've already met that deductible, or we push it off until right after the first of the year so that it can be on next year's deductible. The idea is to time your decisions to make the most out of what's available. I'm not here to tell you if it's right or wrong, but rather to point out that these decisions are strategies, and strategies are influenced by the system we live within. So when we talk about tax planning and these kinds of strategies, it's not about businesses trying to dodge taxes or cheat the system. It's about playing the game within the rules that are in place. The same way people time things to optimize benefits, business owners use the tax code to their advantage to plan for the future. It's just another part of the strategy. Don't think of it as trying to avoid taxes. Think of it as playing the long game. Peddling perishable products takes planning, and so does understanding how to leverage the system in place for the long-term benefit of your business and your financial goals. So here's an example that's really relevant to tax planning. Right now, the tax credit for qualifying childcare is set at $3,000 for one child and $6,000 for two or more children. So that's how much you can deduct from like your qualified daycare expenses. But in 2021, oh, surprise, there was a one-year increase. And instead of $3,000, it was $8,000. And instead of $6,000, it was $16,000 that you could deduct for your child tax for daycare alone, not including the child tax credit. And I know that because I had a baby in 2021 and I was able to get two child tax credits, plus I was the widow credit, there's a credit for that if your husband dies, and all of these things. And it was like, what? Like, here I was stressing about paying for daycare when I could have written off and deducted $16,000 extra dollars rather than the six. Like, that's $10,000. Surprise. Now, for me, it wouldn't have changed anything. But think about the nurse who is working Baylor, which means she works just the weekends and her husband works during the week so that they can save on daycare expenses. Or I think about my sister-in-law who was staying home with their kids at the time because daycare was so expensive. She could have been working, earning a wage, paid for daycare, and been able to deduct that amount of daycare, that $16,000, that extra $10,000. Whether she wanted to be home or wanted to be in the workforce, it really would have impacted decisions. And when we don't find out those things that can impact our decisions until later, it really messes with it. But with businesses, you do have the ability to plan ahead and plan strategically throughout the year. And it can make a huge difference on the bottom line in the life and, you know, everything within that. So let's get one thing clear. Taking advantage of deductions and credits isn't cheating the system, okay? It's working within the tax code, and the tax code is designed very differently for business owners than for W-2 employees. So today, we're going to look at practical ways to use this knowledge to your benefit, not by dodging responsibility, but by making educated choices as a business owner. You would never tell someone that's utilizing the tax child care credit, oh, you're deducting your daycare? That's because you can want to get out of paying taxes. Like, you wouldn't say that to someone there, but then someone that's, you know, utilizing the current law as they're written for a business, like it, and it still has to cash flow. You still have to make money. You still have to prove that you have a venture. You still have to have an attempt to make a profit. A bank's not going to give you money to grow unless you have that dedicated on there. So it's just, you know, keep all those things in mind. Taking a quick break from the episode to talk about QuickBooks. I used to use a payroll company because I W-2 my employees, because if you're in Minnesota, you know that you can't get away with just 1099-ing someone when they should be W-2 because of all the new sick and safe laws. So having an established payroll system in place is your best bet, and I do it all through QuickBooks. I used to pay this company like $70 a month, and I still had to send the amounts and the hours to them, and QuickBooks just does it for you. It would take me 10 minutes to send that email, and now it takes me 25 minutes total. I mean, there's my $70 a month that I used to pay this accounting firm. So the best part is my employees can handle all of it on their end, entering their personal information, like their social security number, their bank account, all of that, and I don't have to ever see it. So I cannot stress enough how great QuickBooks is if you need to do a payroll. So head to the episode notes, and you will get an exclusive 30% off for 6 months offer if you use my code. This is 20% off more than you will ever find on the regular website. So make sure you use my code. Thanks. So let's chat about the Trump tax plan and what it could mean for flower farmers. So first, basically, there's going to be potential tax cuts. And again, this is straight from his website. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. Honestly, like, I'll believe it all when I see it or not or whatever. And it's not like I'm completely banking on of these things, but lower tax rates could mean more capital to reinvest into your farm, whether it's new equipment, seeds, expanding operations, whatever. So a highlight of the new tax plan is the anticipated enhancement of depreciation options. So for flower farmers, depreciation allows you to write off the gradual wear and tear of things like tractors, greenhouses, other equipment. With bonus depreciation options very likely to become more favorable, farmers could offset more of their taxable income, allowing for reinvestment without heavy tax burdens. So basically, a bonus depreciation, think of it as a phantom loss. You don't actually feel it, but you are able to offset your other income. So for easy math, let's say you are able to one-time bonus depreciate and take the entire deduction in 1 year. So say you buy a $50,000 tractor. They don't want you to take that $50,000 expense in 1 year. They want you to take that divided by seven, and you get to take that little bit of expense each year. And so otherwise, if you take out a loan, you can write off the interest and depreciate it. But there's a lot of options that, depending on how you do it, can be a swing of $10,000 over time, whatever that might be. And so it does offset your taxable income, anything that's off the farm, or the profit that you make from the farm that year. And so it really is going to have a pretty high impact. And we're going to talk about toward the end things you can do to plan for that. I also want you to think about taking advantage. And this is something that I'm going to be really diving deep on the private PPP podcast. And this is just me sharing the fact that you cannot separate your business, your personal, whatever, when it comes to like an entire picture for you, because as a small business owner, it is you. And so things like, while you're able to optimize these bonus depreciations, that might be a good time to look at a backdoor Roth and, you know, convert a 401k, a traditional 401k into a Roth and pay those taxes on it when you're able to be in a lower tax bracket than you probably would be later. And so just thinking about all of these things and a long-term plan to protect your assets and ensuring your farm's longevity is definitely important. I did an episode on this a couple months ago, but I honestly didn't really think about waiting until the election, and it was important to do it in September. But this one's similar, but it's a little bit different strategy. And these are just 10 actionable tips that I want you to think about. There's also a free download if you head to the episode notes. That's just really brief general things to start thinking about. But first of all, get organized with your digital accounting software. Use something like QuickBooks or even a spreadsheet to track every single expense and income. And this will help you easily categorize costs, identify those deductions, produce reports when needed, whatever it might be. And keeping things digital saves time, and it's much easier to manage when tax season hits. Next, This is a pretty obvious one. Separate those personal and business finances. If you haven't already, have a dedicated business checking account and use it for all business transactions. And this seems like such a general thing. You're like, oh no, I don't need to do that. It's fine. But it really just keeps those deductions more clear. And it really does increase the risk of an IRS audit, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know if that's really true, but I would imagine that it just having that EIN from your, you know, your tax ID number, from your LLC, go open that bank account. You will thank me later. The next step is just to familiarize yourself with common deductible expenses for farmers. So just know what they are, and then it's easier to keep track of it. Because if you at tax time are trying to figure out what was or wasn't a deduction, then it's a lot harder to keep it organized. So try to familiarize yourself with common deductible expenses like seeds, soil amendments, marketing costs, rent, utilities, insurance, labor, whatever. That way you know to categorize them. And you can literally do that by Googling Schedule F tax deductions. And we cover this a lot deeper in Peddling Perishable Products within the accounting lesson. I have a CPA on there with me that talks about it. But the next thing is start planning for your major purchases now. If you are considering big investments like a high tunnel or tractor or a cooler, just understand how that depreciation works, because it could allow you to take a significant deduction this year rather than spreading it out, which could lower your tax burden. So discuss that timing with your accountant already so that you're ready to act when possible. Again, consider that backdoor Roth IRA during those years of depreciation. This is, you know, this might sound like stick to farming, but really it's a huge, huge thing that I think people don't talk about enough. Review your estate plan and succession goals. This is a touchy one, but if you're planning on trying to continue the farm business with, you know, the next generation, estate taxes can be huge. You know, meet with a qualified estate planner and discuss your goals with an advisor and just trusts or whatever it might be to minimize taxes for your heirs. The next one is probably going to vary by your state, but I want to give a little shout out to the book Profit First. And this is something that I teach a whole module about this in Peddling Perishable Products, because I basically call it accounting for people without an accounting background. And my current husband, my late husband, Josh, was really, really good with money, with lending. He was a marketplace VP for a egg lender. So he got it, and then he passed away. And I'm like, dang it, I wish I could talk to him about some of this. And my now husband, he actually works for a water company. They drill wells and do everything, but he has a degree in accounting. And again, this drives him crazy, but I set aside, I get all the income, and then I automatically take 8% of every single sale and put it in a separate savings account so that when it comes to tax time, like, that's not my money. And I literally have it labeled, not my money, sales tax, because it's not mine. I charged it on to the additional customer. It just keeps things a lot clearer. And so I actually have 7 bank accounts within my Sunny Mary Meadow LLC bank. You log in, there's, you know, the checking account, and then there's all these different savings accounts. And at the beginning of every month, I shift the money around. And so I can glance at it and like, oh, yep, I know how much is in operating expenses. I know how much is in my owner's draw. I know how much is in my profit account. I pay myself a salary based on all of that. And it just streamlines it so much. Again, I teach that. That's a whole module within Peddling Perishable Products if you're interested in taking the course. But it really, that bookkeeping piece is such peace of mind. And I really think that will be a big piece. If you are interested in learning more, I am so excited for January 25th, 2025 in Sartell, Minnesota. We are going to have a whole panel on accounting 101 for flower farmers. We're going to talk about Schedule F. We're going to talk about hiring employees. We're going to talk about deductions. We're going to talk about bookkeeping. It's going to be pretty general in the actual presentation, but because of the options for an online course material, you're going to leave there like completely overwhelmed in such a good way. But my plan is to have, you know, uploads of all of these resources and all of these things available. Plus, we are recording everything, so you get digital access afterwards. So I have people that attended Flower Farmer Forum 2024, and they're going back and rewatching some of those modules now from a live conference. And that is part of why the cost is what the cost is for it, because we have to be able to
offer that online platform, and then any handouts that the accountants may have, we upload, and then you get access to that. They'll be there to answer questions. They'll be there over the noon hour, and just really excited to specifically shape and tailor it based on what we actually need. So again, thank you so much for listening. This is part two. If you have taken PPP, part of Foundations of PPP, make sure you head over to that private episode as I'm sharing, the terms of my loan with a buyout and the 10-year lease payment and the depreciation that doesn't take effect until later and how I plan on making it rent from Liz and Brent once we're done in the 10 years and just how this huge strategy and how I can actually delay the depreciation on it. And it's a big thing, but there's no way that my business could afford to do this if I didn't have the planning for it, but it's going to be beneficial in so many ways. And then also, you know, the previous episodes, head back and find those if you have access to them about, you know, everything that I had to present and get ready to convince a bank to give me this type of loan. And yeah, anyway, so thank you so much for listening. Get your bookworks organized and remember that peddling perishable products takes planning. Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website at flowerfarmerforum.com. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at sunnymarymeadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. sunnymarymeadow.com